At Experian.co.uk, we know being single's no fun. That's why we do everything we can to help you meet your ideal match, your data self.
Until I met my data self, I had no idea which credit card was right for me. He was able to show me the ones I was eligible for before I even applied. It really has changed my life.
Find out how your data self could help you make better financial decisions at Experian.co.uk. Experian Limited is a credit broker, not a lender working with selected lenders.
Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros, leave it in the ring.
And welcome to another edition of Leave It in the Ring. I'm your co-host, Gabriel Montoya, and joining me from the road, where he's making the Central Valley great again, is our co-host and founder, David Duenas. Dave, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
I can.
Am I loud and clear?
You're pretty, yeah. Yeah, well, you may have to change some words and walk some things back tomorrow, but right now you're definitely coming in clear.
We didn't
get a chance. Oh, sorry to cut you off. You take the reins, Dave. You're the lead host. I'm just the guy running the board.
No. I said I'm just glad that we're able to get on. I mean, you know, when you had told me, hey, let's do a show really quick to talk about the weekend fights because we didn't have a chance to cover it on this past Monday on Leaving the Ring. I was like, yeah, sure, why not? I am working, so as troopers that we are, here we are to do this. To do the show, 2:30.
Yeah. I mean, you know, most people know you and I are working stiff, so sometimes we can only do a show for an hour. We got stuff to do in the evening, and so we kept it to more of a review show on Monday, and so we're going to do about 30 minutes to an hour, kind of breaking down this weekend's fights because we got several fights here that that I definitely want to talk about. Three in particular I can think of. The Jaime Munguia versus Liam Smith over on HBO from the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada. And it's on HBO. You don't have to figure out your phone and, just figure out how to get the app to play on your TV. Another great fight on that card is Alberto Machado versus Rafael Mensah of Akragana, super featherweights in action for 12 rounds. And then over in Moscow, Russia, where Dave is originally from, we have Oleksandr Usyk versus Murat Gassiev for cruiserweights in action, and Cecilia Brakis versus Ina Sagadekovska. Yeah, totally jacked that nickname up. That's because I'm a Russian sleeper agent. We probably won't get into that fight as much, but I really want to talk Usyk Gassiev, Mujia Smith, and Machado versus Mensah. Dave, what are your thoughts? We want to start with Mujia Smith?
Yeah. Yeah, let's definitely start with that. You know, as we know, Jaime Munguia came out of – he didn't come out of nowhere. You know, I mean, he made a statement fighting Ali. But how much of a statement really was it? You know, Saddam Ali had a win over Miguel Cotto. Miguel Cotto obviously was at the tail end of his career. He's been in a lot of wars. They figured, let's make a guy move up to 154. Originally he was a smaller guy, but kind of showed that he was very comfortable at that weight. He was more mobile. His speed didn't deteriorate or anything like that. So he had the upper hand against Miguel Cotto. Now goes in with Jaime. We saw a completely different fight, different match, different fighter in there. He was outgunned. He was outsized. He was walked down. And he couldn't handle the volume of punches that were coming from the Mexican. The thing is, to me now, is to see how good he is. Now he's fighting a guy that really is 154, a guy that did give some rounds to who a lot of us consider the second best middleweight of the world, Canelo Alvarez. I'm curious to see if he's able to still bring that intensity. Is he still able to bring that volume of of punching that they kind of demonstrated the last time we saw him out with Saddam Ali. That's what I'm more curious. I kind of expect them to win, but the thing that I'm not quite certain yet, Gabriel, and I don't know what you think about this, is that Liam Smith knows, has kind of shown he can go to the body. He also shows that he can kind of be comfortable and really work the ring when he needs to. Canelo Alvarez had to figure him out. I don't know if Jaime could figure him out because we've only seen kind of a one-track mode of the kids so far because we've only seen him really on the big stage on HBO, which was against Saddam Ali. So I think there's just still questions there. No, everybody's really hyped about him, and now there's they're calling him the Mexican machine gun, which I don't really see of him. Because
yeah, I don't really get that nickname
have that
at all.
Speed.
Yeah,
it doesn't fit him at all, man. I was like, Mexican machine gun. Okay, but anyways, to me, he's a shotgun. You know, he's going to throw big, heavy shots. He's going to throw it wherever it lands. And whatever damage he can create, he's going to take. It's really up to Smith. How many miles does Smith have? That's what I'm curious about. Smith, how many miles does he have on him? Is he going to be able to take on the onslaught of McGill? I don't know. Those things are going to be answered. I think, to me, it's a very interesting title defense fight for the Mexican kid. So I think we're going to have a real good fight, and we're going to really find out how good this kid is. Is the hype real?
Yeah, I'm very curious about this fight. I mean, Liam Smith, I think, is a solid fighter. He's 29 years old. I'm not going to exactly call him a journeyman. He had picked up a title that got lifted by Alvarez, and he defended it a few times, successfully, I believe twice, maybe three times, and then he loses it to Canelo Alvarez and gets stopped. I just think that then you get to a get back win against a 2-37-1 Marian Kuzaku over there in Barcelona, gets a points win over him, and then goes back to back tough fights with Liam Williams. And they're action-packed fights, but he pulls out a majority decision against a guy that, had he's now like 17-2-1, 12 KOs, has been stopped once. To me, it's like when you're going back-to-back against a guy like that, not a heavy hitter, but, kind of almost like a mirror image. A little bit mobile, he's got all the punches, technically sound guy, but he's also a little bit there to be hit at times. I just think this is a great fight for Munguia that he's gonna be able to get some rounds. He's gonna be able to get some of that experience that Liam Smith has. Liam Smith comes into this fight 26 wins, one loss, one draw with 14 KOs. So he's 5'9.5" to Munguia's 6 foot. He's a big kid. I think what happened to Saddam Ali and with Cotto was kind of those guys that always played with weights that were, Cotto was always a bit of a tweener. Saddam Ali is a little bit of a tweener, found the right matchup at that weight, looked good, but then ran into a kid who's probably going to end up, at 160 pounds sooner rather than later. So I think, 29-0, 25 KOs for Munguia. I think that this guy, he's going to beat up Smith. We'll find out if he's world class, if he's able to stop him, maybe get him to a stoppage on cuts, or able to put him down and get him out of there. I agree with you. He reminds me a little more of like a Margarito type. I wouldn't call him a machine gun. Machine guns are rapid fire. This kid is more like a sledgehammer, like a shotgun, the way you said. He can get you out of there from either side, either hand. So we're going to find out, can he cut off the ring against a mobile Smith who's, hoping to get to that next or get back to the top level and become a player at the talent-rich and big bout potential of, 154. I'm going with Jaime. I think that the kid's a real deal. I always beware when people jump on the hype train,
Right.
Felix Verdejo, the future. Lucas Batiste, the machine. And now Jaime, the, machine gun Munguia. You start giving the guy nicknames and jumping him on fights where, jumping on the bandwagon after fights that really, maybe we didn't know much about him at the top level. But people didn't think much of Saddam Ali. Thought he was kind of chinny. Thought that maybe the Cotto win was a fluke, getting a guy at the end of his career, literally. He retired in the next fight. But I think the kid's got class. I think he's a strong fighter and a good fighter. You know, I don't think that Liam Smith is the guy that's going to exploit or find that chink in the armor. So I'm going with Mungia with late stoppage or a clear decision.
You know, matchmaking is everything in boxing. And obviously, with Mungia, that's why they went after Liam Smith. He is the appropriate guy for a title defense because, you know, no matter what, Liam Smith has shown he can make your guy work. He can make him try to find you. But at the end of the day, he's there as an opponent. You know, Robert Alguazar, who's the trainer, is a very good good trainer. He doesn't really get the praise that he should get. But so I expect some cut off to the ring to make the ring a little bit smaller. I expect to have the volume. I don't expect a head movement. I expect a Smith to have his moments, but the moments that are going to pass because the kid's going to be able to walk through it and cut off the ring and show up, show exactly why some folks are on the, they're on the train. If I had to give him a nickname, if I had to give him a label at the moment, it would be if he does stop Layman Smith, which I think he's going to be able to do in the mid rounds. My label for him, my nickname for him, Gable, would be Jaime Bazooka Munguia.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. Well, we'll see. You know, I want to see him, see if he's able to, you know, get Smith out of there. That's when we find out he's at the top level. Because, you know, Saddam Ali, like I said, even at the lower weight, and maybe that was because he was making weight, was considered to be a chinny guy. So stopping a chinny guy, it's like, well, let's see him against somebody that seems a little more durable, that does go some rounds. And I think that's
Liam
Smith.
If the kid keeps winning in that type of fashion, then obviously they have found somebody that can move up to 160 and really, really honestly have another favor, a Mexican favor, to bring an audience. Because the style that he brings, fight fans from all around the world, you don't have to be Mexican. You fall in love with that type of a ballsy type of style. Come forward, take shots to land one big punch. You know, that's been the Julio Cesar model. And fight fans from across the globe love that. They embrace that. They want that. They're very thirsty for it. So I understand why the wagon is being overloaded right now with fans.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's, you know, I'm not, I just don't know if the nickname fits, but, and I think people that are projecting him to beat a bunch of people, let's see, you know, everybody gets so excited, like the Teofimo Lopez, the takeover, and everybody's so excited, and that's, you know, that's Top Rank's job is to be excited about their fighters, but everyone else,
absolutely,
it's like, let's see him fight somebody that is actually supposed to give him some resistance, that maybe has some speed and power. Or, you know, a lot of, you know, heavy power, something that's going to really, really test the guy. You know, I mean, he got tested because he injured his right hand, Lopez. But, you know, let's see him actually beat, you know, a world beater. Let's see him at that next level before we like, oh, my God, this guy is for real. You know, I mean, people were saying that about Verdejo. I wasn't. You know, and,
yeah,
and look how things went.
I want him to be for real, though. I honestly want him to be for real.
Style.
But I'm realistic because you beat Saddam Ali, you know, which you look like. It looked like a man chasing a child. So that doesn't tell me much. When you beat a guy, like you said, as a tweener in divisions, that doesn't tell me much. I need you to fight somebody equally your size and your weight, somebody that actually made that weight, somebody that's fought in that weight for more than 6 months, you know, before I can get on the wagon, before I turn in my ticket. I need those things answered.
Agreed. Yeah, I want. Yeah, you got to ask some more questions. We got about another 15 minutes to go here. It's, what's your pick?
I can say I think Jaime Munguia stops him in mid rounds.
That's solid. Let's
crushing fashion. Yep.
Damn. Alberto Machado, 19-0, 16 KOs. No losses, no draws. His box rec picture looks a little bit like me with a goatee. But he hails from San Juan, Puerto Rico. And he's 27 years old, 5'10", a southpaw with a 72-inch reach. You know, everybody got to know him. You know, fight fans knew who he was, but really arrived on that world stage when he stopped Jezreel Corrales back in October, picked up the vacant WBA World Super Featherweight title. It was really just a hell of a performance, and it really announced that this kid is the real deal, even with, you know, less than 20 fights. Very exciting fighter. He's enrolled in the VADA clean boxing program, and he takes on a guy that's so unheralded, Rafael Mensah out of Accra, Ghana, 31-0, no draws, 23 wins by way of knockout. He's so unheralded, he doesn't have a picture on BoxRec. I could only find one fight of his. I should have dug a little deeper, maybe on Daily Motion. But I had to watch, you know, one of his fights, and just to break down tape on Mensah, I think he's really open for the right hand. I would not call him elusive. He doesn't quite have that Ike Bazooka Corte high guard that some Ghanaians have or Joshua Kaladi has. But you know, he's a little more fluid, I think, than those guys. A little light on his feet at times. He's got all the punches and seems to have a lot of power. But this is his very first fight outside of Accra, Ghana. So, I think he's fought in other places besides Accra, Ghana, but his first fight out of Africa, right? Now he's fighting in Las Vegas on a much bigger stage. He says that, you know, when he looked at Machado's style, that it was perfect for him. This is a guy that he should be able to beat. He doesn't see a style that can beat him. But, you know, when has a fighter ever said, you know, I think this guy's style could beat me? What do you think of this guy? Have you had a chance to check him out? Do you think he's the real deal? And Willie gave Machado what for?
You know, any of those guys that come from Accra, they bring it. I mean, if you watch the way they train, what they even have to get through to get the chance to come to the States to fight, I mean, these guys don't lay down. They only know one way, and that's to go up, because that's what literally feeds their family. That's what literally helps them get out of whatever poverty they're at. I would never count any of those guys out. I mean, if you watch Ike Corte, you'll watch Joshua Kaladi, you watch any of the guys that came out of there, trust me, these guys come, they come to fight. And notice this, that it's a very small crop of guys that make it across the pond over here to the United States. And those guys are pretty solid. So it's not like everybody has a chance to come over here. It's really a lottery ticket.
Yeah, it's a chance for him to completely change his life. And, you know, he's big, strong, solid dude. Don't have his stats. I'm not quite sure how they physically match up just yet. But I expect, like, I think that's just kind of a staple. When you're facing a guy from Accra, Ghana, you know you're going to go some rounds. That he's probably going to be tough, unless he freezes on the big stage, which I have a feeling this guy's going to bring it. And on top of it, he's also a southpaw. And that's a thing that, you know, southpaws enjoy that advantage. But when they face another southpaw, all of a sudden all things are equal. And it's a little strange to be facing someone that's the mirror image. And you're not quite sure, you know, obviously
right.
They probably worked on it in camp. But, you know, you're always used to drifting right. Against an orthodox,
you know,
right-handed fighter.
Right.
Now he's going to have to be drifting left the whole time and fighting that battle. So I'm really curious to see how he handles that.
And you know what? Sometimes when you have that, the writing in the wall will tell you that the majority of the time, it's not going to be a slugfest. It's going to be more of a chess match. I'm hoping that they're just going to let it go and let their hands go and see if they can take each other out. But I think we're going to have more of a boxing match before anything else. We might have a majority of just a boxing match until somebody kind of figures a pocket that they could fit something that can create a bit of a buzz.
Yeah. Who's going to be comfortable going backwards? Somebody's going to have to, because they're both kind of come forward guys, at least from the little bit that I was able to see of Mensah. I think that he appears to have the leakier defense. Machado has a nice guard. Good on his feet. He is more of a stalker, You know, I think he's more comfortable pitching rather than catching. And I'm not sure how he's going to be on the back foot, you know. So that's going to be the battle. You know, it's not two counterpunchers here. It's more, you know, two aggressive guys. Like you said, like, when does the respect go away and the fists start flying? That's going to be the big key. I'm going to go with Machado just because I like his nice tight guard at times. It just seems to be more defensively sound. Whereas, you know, Rafael Mensa, I mean, over and over again through the fight that I saw against Justin Savi, he kept it and he won it by decision that fight. It was back in 2015. So, you know, he's had like five fights since then. But we would think that he'd gotten better. But, like, you know, the last two opponents were 6-7. And 8-14-1. So, you know, we're not quite sure just how world class he is, but I do know that, you know, against Justin Savi, who was 28-3-1, I believe at the time, he kept eating that right hand, and I just don't think that he can keep going all night eating that right hand as flush as he did. So I'm going with Alberto Machado. Maybe the difference will be a knockdown or two. We'll see.
I'm leaning with Alberto Machado too, just because the confidence is there. We've seen him. He's you know, he obviously has shown us what he can do. I think that's what he wants to try to continue. The height may be a big problem. Like I said, to me, it's going to be it's going to be a chess match, but it's going to be overall who decides to be the checker player and wants to checkmate. I have to kind of lean more towards Machado because if you look at the Aqua guys, they more or less like to stay at a really tight game plan. They don't really try to get out of that game plan. I just see with Alberto, he's gonna be the guy that's willing to cross that line.
Wow, and just you know, being a little bit box reg, Bob Bennett, when they fought, Justin Savi was 23. We're 28-3-1. He's now 31-17-2. He's been stopped 7 times. Yikes. That's just how does boxing let shit like that happen? You know? Oh, wait. It's because it's boxing. So we're both going with Machado. Got another about like 9 minutes or so. Let's move to the main event. The showdown between Oleksandr Usyk, 14-0-0 with 11 knockouts. He's 6'3", 78-inch reach. He's a southpaw cruiserweight from the Ukraine, from Kiev, Ukraine, versus Murat Gassiev, 26-0, 0 losses, 0 draws, 19 wins, coming by way of knockout. His nickname is Iron. He's age 24, and he's 6'3.5 with a 76-inch reach. What are your thoughts here, man? This is a tough fight to pick.
I really, truly like this fight. I mean, I can't wait for Saturday for that to, you know, come down. Usyk is a guy that's a slow starter. He's really slow-footed. I mean, let's be honest. He's not the quickest guy. He's not the swift guy on his feet. But what he does it very well. He knows how to walk you down. He knows how to place his punches. And he's very heavy-handed. And you know what? He could take a good shot as well. Just his demeanor is imposing. Just that little smirk to me is kind of like it's kind of a frightened moment. When you see the guy smile and kind of shrug like, yeah, here I am at the office again, and I'm here again to crush you. That just overall just kind of gets me, you know, pumped up and say, okay, I got to lean with him. The attitude is all there. To me, he has the attitude of a fighter that's willing to go through the fire to get a win.
Yeah, I think too that well, you know, Gassiev in his last fight showed that he had a few more dimensions, you know, than we thought. Most people thought he was kind of a come forward plotter who'd go through your big shots to get you out of there. But against Junior Dorticos, he showed that he could be a little patient. He could move backwards, kind of draw you in and then attack and then slowly come forward. It was a hell of a game plan by him and his team. So I'm very excited to see if he's got even more dimensions than we realized in this fight. He's going to need all of them. Cause I think Usyk, is a guy that has great mobility. He's able to, you know, hit on the fly, we're going to find out, I think, a little bit more about his chin against, you know, against Agassiev, who can move. And it's just, you know, bull strong. You know, he's not going to enjoy a huge, you know, size advantage over.
Oh, no. And Agassiev, you know, I mean, like you said, his last fight, he showed all those other different dimensions that he has. I'm just wondering, that was a tough fight, too, for him. How much of that really took out of him? You know, how much is really – I mean, there's something left of him. And I think he's gonna pull out every card that he can out of the deck. To me, it depends on the pace. Who starts it, who dictates it, and who's going to continue with it. Usyk, I just see him as a guy that's going to be okay which way it goes, because he's just going to do exactly what he does. He's going to come forward. He's going to try to walk you down. He's going to try to land these big shots on your arms, on your body, up to the head. Gassi's going to have to always move. To me, he's got to be the mover in the fight. I don't see him being foolish to try to sit there and get in the pocket and make it into this bloody war. Don't see that happening.
Yeah, Abel Sanchez, who trains Murat Gassiev, said he can't afford to give away early rounds. And I agree with him that, you know, against Ortikos, who was the older fighter, I think they felt like, you know, they could pick some shots here and there and kind of slowly work their way into the fight, because they're the younger guy and they would be able to sprint at some point, whereas the older Ortikos might not be able to, you know. I mean, guy's only 32, but, you know, he wasn't super ancient. But, you know, at 24 years old, Gassiev is the spring chicken. And I think he is that in this fight, too. You know, Oleksandr Usyk is 31 years old. He's got fewer pro fights, but, you know, he's been an amateur for a long time. And he's not the younger man here. So I'm going to go with Murat Gassiev. What I loved about his last fight, and it was a tough fight, was that he made it through. Got hurt at times, came back, was able to get a stoppage win, and really take over the fight. That was really a brutal seesaw battle at times. I liked that. And I loved seeing that, you know, he didn't just have to be a bull in there, that he could kind of, you know, move backwards and take his foot off the gas a little bit, draw his opponent into some traps. He showed some craft, and more importantly, that in a serious firefight, he showed the ability to execute the game plan and stay on task. And it also, I think, for people that think of Abel Sanchez as a trainer of guys who only get knockouts, and, you know, they only think of him as a Gennady Golovkin's guy, he showed that he could take a young charge and guide him through a firefight like that. And that certainly gives me confidence in their team heading into this fight. I haven't been completely sold on Usyk. I really like him, but at times he looks ordinary to me. And so I think in this fight, you know, we're going to find out all about his chin, all about his grit, because I think that Gassiev is going to put the gas, pedal to the gas and pedal to the metal rather, and really kind of push him to the limit at times. So give me Murat Gassiev with a surprise shock, early knockdown that kind of rattles Usyk. And, you know, it could be a tough seesaw battle at times, but I think Gassiev, his power is for real. His grit and chin are for real. And I think he's going to be able to rattle Usyk's cage enough to get that decision win and become the unified cruiserweight champion. How about that for the you know, World Series of Boxing or World Boxing Super Series, rather, delivering us a unified champion in pretty short order. I got to applaud these guys.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you know, VADA tweeted out that the World Boxing Super Series is continuing to use VADA testing for the Season 2 fighters. So that, on top of everything, you know, they're moving the sport forward, not just in doing tournaments and bringing all these great fighters together, but they're doing it and attempting to be clean as well. That's got to be applauded.
You know, so 56% of our listeners agree with you on Gassiev that he's going to win the fight. There's only 44% of Usyk. The question that makes me wonder is, because he was in such a tough fight, that there's obviously going to be some cautionary when he steps into the ring, you know. So my pick's against yours. That's what I'm going with. I think that Usyk is going to be the guy that's going to be able to see whether or not that
that his guy has any questions lingering around. I think the kid is still fresh. I think that he's going to come out and he's going to walk him down. And I think it's going to be a tough match, but I think he pulls it off by a late stoppage.
Damn. Well, it's always better when we disagree. we might be finding out more about Usyk, and you're right. There might be some residual stuff. I just tend to think that Dorticos was the more monster puncher. He was the boogeyman in this tournament, and Gassiev went through him, was able to get over that hump.
He absolutely did. But that's the thing that makes me question is Gassiev, how much of that took away from him? Because when you face a big guy like that and you got hurt a couple of times, he had to pull everything out of himself to stay in that fight when he got hurt a few times. That when you go back in, your confidence, it could be a dent in it a bit. You could be questioning yourself. Your body may not take that punishment again. So I mean, that's why I'm leaning with Usyk, because I think that he may be the finishing touch. He may be able to put the final brush on him to see how much is left of the big rock that was chipped away by Dorticos. So I don't know.
Just either way, it's going to be. I'm pretty stoked too. I don't have a play this weekend, so I get to watch the fights live for the first time in a minute,
and
not
on
my phone.
Right, and it's going to be on Cloud TV. Right.
Yeah, I'm going to be actually able to watch it. So, yeah, that's pretty exciting to me. It's especially when there are fights that all three of these fights that we talked about, it could go well, with the exception of Smith Mungia, I think they could go either way. The Machado Mensa and Usyk Gassiev, we won't know until it's over, how these fights are going to play out. So that's always exciting. I think that's always better for boxing when you get competitive matchups. These showcase bouts, put those on an app somewhere, and ship them to the moon. I just don't care. But fights like this that are competitive, that's what I want to see. And even the Smith fight is, it's going to be a learning experience, I hope, for the bazooka, as you call it.
Yeah,
well,
I think so too.
Well, we're up against it. That was about half hour. I know you got to head back, but any last thoughts? I hear that Alexander Povetkin says he's always been a clean fighter, and that those tests he tests positive for, he says they're suspect.
Wow.
Okay, bro.
Man.
Cool.
Yep.
Yeah. Cool story, dude.
Exactly.
No, that's all I got for today. Just today was a quick hitter.
Yeah, and I really liked it. I mean, I wish that we could have some more time, but I'm pressed against the clock here right now to go back. I got a bunch of – unfortunately, I'm a one-man band in terms of when it comes to what I do for a living. But we'll be back on Monday. Everybody, thank you again for tuning in and listening to Leaving the Ring. Don't forget to support us at Patreon. We are trying every little bit to get back on the airwaves as consistent as we can. And also, Aficionados should be up either later today or tomorrow.
Sweet.
There we go.
All right, then.
Enjoy your weekend at the fights. All right, brother. Talk to you guys soon.
Peace.
Experian.co.uk, we know being single's no fun. That's why we do everything we can to help you meet your ideal match, your data self.
Until I met my data self, I had no idea which credit card was right for me. He was able to show me the ones I was eligible for before I even applied. It really has changed my life.
Find out how your data self could help you make better financial decisions at Experian.co.uk. Experian Limited is a credit broker, not a lender working with selected lenders.